Blog Talk Radio.
That you could join us. I just noticed something. That intro really needs to be changed. Nevertheless, it is what it is. So Christmas is over. The new year has started. And yet, contrary to what you've probably seen all over the place, the wise men came later on. They weren't there at the beginning. It's what we call the Epiphany. And it is celebrated among Orthodox churches as a time, it's supposed to be 12 days after Christmas, is the Epiphany when the wise men actually arrive. There's a story that I heard long ago that I can't remember who first told it. It's probably not a true story, I'm warning you, but I don't know that for sure because I wasn't there. So there was this church, and they had a very cranky neighbor. This neighbor was cranky because he was an atheist, and he considered the church to be a drain on society. And he did everything in his power to irritate the members of the church. Sometimes when visitors to the church made the mistake of parking on his property, he would have the car towed away. When leaves fell from the church trees onto his yard, he complained to the city. During the summer, when the church would open up their windows so that they could get a nice breeze blowing through there, he would play loud, obnoxious music during their worship service. Well, the church was praying for this neighbor. They prayed that God would bring a change into this man's life. They asked God to soften his heart. Well, God did bring a change into this neighbor's life. A tornado came through and destroyed all the buildings on his land. Undeterred, this neighbor took the church to court. He decided to sue them. He charged that their prayers had caused God to send the tornado, and he asked that the church be responsible for rebuilding all of his buildings. Now, of course, the church vehemently denied this and did what they could to defend themselves, and they claimed that God had did no such thing. The judge was going to move to dismiss this case, but before he did that, he remarked and said, "I have never seen such a strange case in my life. Here's an atheist saying that God answers prayers, and a church saying that he doesn't." Well, maybe that's how our text kind of looks like. If you look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, it's a text that we've heard so often that we have a tendency to skip over a little spot of weirdness is actually located in here. Let's consider King Herod's personality. He was a big fan of political assassination, and he had a lot of blood on his hands. You know that he wanted to find Jesus in order to kill him. So this is obviously not a God-fearing man. He's more like a demon-possessed monster here. Now, why would such a person turn to the chief priests and scribes of the people and ask them to search the scripture for an answer to anything? Herod obviously didn't care anything about scripture when it came to faith or his lifestyle. So why would God's book suddenly become the authority in searching for this Messiah? And why would Herod take the prophecy seriously enough to send troops to Bethlehem to destroy the young boys of that village? Well, Herod's not the only one whose actions seem illogical. considered the chief priests and those scribes. They're the ones who are supposed to believe in the prophecy. But they take no action at all. You think that they would make any excuse possible to leave Herod's court and gather up their families and their friends and follow those wise men to worship the Messiah. You would think that they would at least be curious enough to want to investigate. Just think about that. These wise men, or these magi, or whatever you would like to call them, they've come a long way from a far way east, and they've come to worship this newborn king. You would think that at least the chief priests and scribes would check that out. I'm sure that the wise men had to be confused and puzzled about what the heck is going on. They had what they thought was a reasonable assumption. If the Messiah was born, then the people who cared for God's scripture at the temple in Jerusalem would certainly know about it. They had all the prophecies. They had all the books of Moses. Surely they would want to coordinate the massive crowds that were going to follow these wise men, and they were going to gather and pay homage to this king. It's weird. Certainly the people of Judea should have known. I mean, you read in the Gospels that the shepherds had spread the good news in Bethlehem. And if we were to read in Luke, we would learn that, Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple to keep the laws and the statutes required after the birth of a firstborn son. Now, when Jesus entered the temple with his parents, of course, because he couldn't walk, he's a baby. When he entered the temple area, Simeon and Anna both made announcements to everyone in the temple that this was the Messiah. In fact, Simeon's announcement was so elegant and edifying that it's still repeated today. Found right there in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 29 through 32. Simeon says, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." People heard this. By the time the wise men actually arrived in Jerusalem, everyone should have known about the birth of the Messiah. It's weird. It must have been puzzling to the wise men when the town reacted in terror instead of joy. It must have been puzzling to them that they seem to be the first ones to show up to worship the newborn king. The word of God was so clear to them. Why weren't Jerusalem and her king, that would be Herod, excited over this powerful fulfillment of prophecy? I can't help but wonder if the wise men begin to think that they were on a wild goose chase. Were they beginning to wonder if they had come all this way for nothing? It's no wonder that when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They had verification. They continued their journey, and they entered into the home of the child Savior, and they worshipped him by offering gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I want you to pay attention here, because there's two facets of the text that deals with the different ways people receive God's word. We've been provided right there in Matthew with three possible responses to the word of God. One, Herod was antagonistic. Two, the chief priests and scribes were apathetic. And three, the wise men were enthusiastic. We're born into this world as little Herods. We all start our life in rebellion against God's word. As we grow up, rebellion against God, it changes. We learn that a rebellion like Herod produces pain. So we find more subtle ways to rebel. We start looking more and more like chief priests and scribes. The chief priests and the scribes, well, they talk the word of God, but they didn't believe it themselves. We've changed the appearance of our rebellion on the outside so that we can avoid the problem of punishment. But we still rebel on the inside. And this rebellion continues to separate us from God. Now, ultimately, it makes no difference how subtle our rebellion becomes, because it's the exact same punishment that Herod received with his open rebellion. The wise men demonstrate what happens when God's word takes root and the Holy Spirit works faith in us. Now, I like this. This is a good point that I'm going to make here, and I hope you notice it. Because I want you to notice that they physically heard the word of God from the mouth of the most wicked man in the kingdom, Herod himself. Nevertheless, the Holy Spirit used that word from the most wicked man in the kingdom, Herod himself, to establish faith in them. Sometimes God uses those things that we just don't understand. I like to say God uses Satan because there's some things in our lives that only Satan can fix. He has to touch us in order to increase us in our spiritual life in God. The Holy Spirit moves these wise men to continue their journey, to follow the star, and to worship the one true king. They're going to find this little baby. This child that the wise men worshipped is our only salvation from our rebellion against God. He's our Savior, Jesus Christ, the human Son of Mary and the divine Son of God. He never rebelled against God. He lived a life of perfect obedience to God's law. He followed God's law from the time he was born into a manger until the day he died on the cross. His obedience overcame the grave, and he rose from the dead so that we would have the right to become children of God. Now, contrary to what you've heard and what people will tell you, not everyone is a child of God. We are all his creation, but we're not all his children. Those who are his children are the ones who are obedient to his word and follow the path that he has chosen. Now, the benefit of Jesus' perfect life and his sacrificial death are through the faith that we receive as a free gift from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who works through the Word of God, even when that Word of God comes from the mouth of a tyrant. Now, today, Saturday, the 6th of January, 2018, is the day of Epiphany of our Lord. And on this day, and for the weeks that follow, we should think about the various ways that Jesus Christ, our Savior, revealed himself. Today, we remember the revelation to the Gentiles through the wise men. As weeks go by, we're going to be able to see his baptismal revelation. His revelation is God's perfect sacrifice. His revelation to his disciples. And finally, his revelation as the fulfillment of the law of Moses and the prophets, the promise of the prophets. John 20 and 31 says these words are written, tells us that these words are written just like all God's words are written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may come to have life in his name. Beloved, God's word affects us whether we want to admit that, accept that, or live that. God's word affects us. How's it affecting you? Are you hear it, antagonistic toward it, choosing to live your life as if you get to do what you want when you want and how you want? with no repercussions? Are you being like the chief priests and the scribes, apathetic to the word of God? Beloved, the word of God isn't a takeout menu where you get to choose from column A, B, or C. The word of God requires passion, not apathy. Are you being like the wise men, excited and enthusiastic about God's word and about his will being done in your life, about his will being done in your church, about his will being done in your family day by day by day? What kind of epiphany are you truly experiencing? My prayer is that every day we become more and more like the people God intends us to be. I encourage you, beloved, to ask your Heavenly Father to show himself, to reveal himself, so that once again, that epiphany can occur in your life to the degree that you want one thing. Show me God. I'm glad you could join me. It's been short. It's so cold down here. But I'm glad that you are here with me. I ask that you would join me again next time as we continue to explore God's word, as we learn how to live safe in this world in a manner that will please him. Until we meet again, may God bless you and keep living safe.
Creator of our life, I was made to give.